I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. I am Tom Strange of the Long Box guys, and with me are always and some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. It's morning time where we don't usually record, and I'm just drinking good old-fashioned black coffee.
Yes, welcome to the soberest episode ever. Tom, you're the only one with a drink in hand at the microphone stand. Yo, homeboy, what you drinking, man?
I am drinking Crown Royal because it's all that's available in this Airbnb that we rented. I am drinking because that's what we do on this podcast, damn it.
You're drinking Crown Royal out of a plastic cup with no ice. Man, you are dedicated.
I am.
I don't have your stones. Tommy, Mikey, what are you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing fine, and I'm just drinking a root beer.
I respect you, sir. 11 in the morning, I respect you. And speaking of respect, we got to respect all our fine friends and fans that we met over the weekend, last weekend at PhillyCon. Except for you, Mike, you didn't get to go. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you missed a great time. We're going to go over some of the highlights, some of the lowlights, all the good things we saw at Philadelphia Con, and all the fun we had. Tommy, you got there before anyone. Tell us what it's like to orientate to actually have a vendor at a big con.
It was kind of nice seeing the sauce being made. You get to walk onto the dealer floor while dealers are opening up their shops and still getting stuff unloaded. Wizard World was very nice. They answered any questions that we had. We could bring in our stuff and set up the booth without any issue. It was great. We were a little saddened that the Batmobile was not where it was supposed to be.
That is true. The Batmobile was supposed to be directly in front of us along with the Batcycle.
So I have an update on the Batmobile because some of us like to do research for the podcast to be prepared.
I'm right here, but okay, go on.
Apparently, and I don't know if this is the Batmobile that was supposed to be there, but apparently a Batmobile that was on its way.
Let me guess. A Batmobile lost its wheel, and the Joker got away.
Not quite.
May Josh laugh, don't care.
But a Batmobile that was on its way to another Comic-Con earlier than the Philadelphia Comic-Con blew a radiator hose. The driver couldn't see where it was going and crashed that Batmobile. And that Batmobile is out of commission and is currently in the shop being repaired because the one side of it is badly damaged.
Well, that's okay because due to some
and
quick
that happened in Buffalo, New York. So, yes.
Well, that's okay because of some quick thinking on our part. We were able to replace those two things with Wonder Woman's invisible jet. We made a big sign that said, "Look out, danger, Wonder Woman's invisible jet," put it on two chairs, and had a hell of a fine time warning people not to walk into the invisible jet. And a lot of people took pictures with Wonder Woman's invisible jet, so we thought that was a pretty good ad hoc kind of last-minute add to the con.
That joke got a lot more mileage than I thought I was going to.
It really did.
It would have been better if you sold tickets for it.
Oh,
that joke got.
Although when people did pretend to lean on it, we did say, "Hey, please don't touch the display vehicles."
Yeah, and everyone would laugh, ha ha. We had this one guy who spent like 5 minutes pretending to walk into it, and no one cared. That was sad.
That was a lot of runs he kept doing to see if anyone would take notice, and everyone just completely ignored him.
Yeah, it's okay. For the rest of the pop,
no one even spoke to him again.
Unclean is what they called him. So maybe I should have introduced this a little bit better, but so we spent the weekend at Philadelphia Wizard World Con, where not only we gave panels this time around, but we also had a fan table, and we were able to spend a lot of time actually on the floor because we were required to be there pretty much the entire time the con was open.
Except Sunday, where I screwed you all. Sorry.
That's okay. We weren't going to mention that on the podcast in case Wizard World listened to us.
I'm sorry, Wizard World.
Josh did screw you.
I was hungover.
We're going to get to that because we hardly ever get to go to the after parties, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, too. Josh, you want to address the after party?
No, we can continue. Let's start from the beginning.
All right. So in the beginning, we get there on Tommy got there on Thursday and listened to the orientation, which we just went over. Thursday night is usually the first night of a con is usually the slowest night of a con. Especially if it's a Thursday. Sometimes the cons that are like Friday, Saturday, Sunday are, you know, pretty bumping on Friday. Not like it's still one of the slower days, but at least something's going on. Thursday was fairly dead. It seemed like they were mostly set up just because they could be set up. But it gave us a great time to scout the floor and meet all the people around us. And there were some fun, kind of odd people there. Bathfitters had a booth at Wizard World, which I thought was funny.
That was odd.
Yeah.
Seems like, is this really how you want to spend your marketing dollars, Bathfitters? Like, are nerds really like, you know what I could use? I could really use a custom overlay to redo my tub while looking for comic books.
If it was nerd-themed, I would say, yes, that would be the place. I bought a kitchen table at a con.
When you bought a kitchen table with a nerd purpose, this was just – there was no nerd – there was nothing involved here. There was no secret door into the bathtub.
Well, I do disagree. Well, they also make the stand-up sit-down bathtubs for fat people who can no longer ambulate as well as they used to be able to. Maybe they do know where their dollars are supposed to go.
Yeah, Disney World.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the sales girls did dress up as Harley Quinn and start selling people, which nerds will talk to you a long time if you're dressed as Harley Quinn. So she got to get the whole sales pitch up before she realized none of us own a home. Actually, all of us own a home.
Yeah.
Maybe nerds are a good target.
We're responsible.
We are kind of responsible. We do like a nice bathtub. And I am actually getting a quote from them. Oh, my God, they might be geniuses. What were some of the other odd ones? We had a college behind us that had a annual Quidditch tournament and one of the largest Harry Potter themed
festivals.
Festivals, yeah. Every year. What was the name of that college, Josh? Do you remember?
I'm trying to look it up now because I can't remember.
Do they have a small drone acting as the ball that everybody has to chase?
Well, that would be a snitch, you son of a bitch.
Hey,
that's not Hill College.
Snitches get stitches, so I'm not going to snitch on anybody.
What was the name of that college?
It's Chestnut Hill College.
Chestnut Hill College, one of the largest Quidditch teams and one of the largest Quidditch courses in America, and also a huge Harry Potter Day theme. Beautiful campus. They tell me it looks a lot like Hogwarts, but the people manning it, they really weren't hitting their target audience either because there was a lot of out-of-town nerds there. But they had a good time.
Yeah, they're in a small suburb of Philadelphia. I can't remember the name of it, but the whole town has gotten into the Harry Potter-themed weekend, so now there's all kinds of events and a convention and Quidditch matches going on there, and I don't remember when that is, but I'll try to find it before the end of the podcast.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Tommy, what was there anything weird that you saw that was kind of fun?
I mean, there was the most fun thing that I saw were there was four women, three of them were dressed as Asgardians. They came dressed as different in different costume as guardians each day. One was Thor, one was Loki, and one was Death. And they were just hilarious. One day they reenacted the My Brother's Hurt scene from Thor Ragnarok, and they were just so much fun. And they just had different costumes every day. One day they did Victorian. Another day they were very shiny, and they were just fantastic.
I remember those two. My favorite one was when they did Flapper Thor and Flapper Loki. So they did a kind of like 1920s thing, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of really great costumes. This was a good costume event, especially because Sebastian Stan was there, and we saw a lot of great Captain America, great Bucky takes on that. My favorite, and the one that blew me away the most, was someone went to the trouble of making hagiography Captain America and Loki. So if you don't know what a hagiography is, picture of a saint with a halo and a shimmer around them and holding various objects that would explain why they are saints. These were issued as pictures and prints before most people, you know, could read or write. And these hagiographies would explain, you know, these saints to illiterate peasants in medieval England. So they went to the trouble of making a hagiography of these two superheroes and walking around as them. And it was insanely good. The problem was Bucky was in a terrible mood and didn't really want to take pictures. If you're going to go to that length to make an insanely good costume but not really be into taking pictures, maybe stay home. Because it was very disappointing.
Well, wait, so the cosplayer did not want to take photos?
Yeah, you know, I saw her a couple different times, like, oh, hey, you know, I this is a great Bucky. Do you mind if I take a picture? And she's like, maybe later. I'm like, oh, okay, something's going on. No problem. I saw her and Captain America together in line. I'm like, oh, wow, I got you guys together. Mind if I take a picture? And she kind of sighed. I went, fine. And like nine other people wanted to take her picture, too. She's like, okay. Like, I get that you're tired, but, man, that's insane. I need a picture. Tom, I know it's not my right to, but
cosplay is not consent, Tom.
That's not what this is about, and you know that's not what it's about. It's just, I'm so grumpy. And I wanted to cheer her up. I offered to go get her a soda or something. Like, you need something? You okay? I've met these two a bunch of different cons. They're usually very, very nice. That's my rant. Sorry about it, but that's what it was.
Maybe it's just you, Tom.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe they're like, that guy again.
That guy again?
Is he stalking us?
He is stalking us.
Josh, any good cosplay?
Good cosplay. I should flip through my phone. I did take a lot of pictures. There was a couple there dressed up as a male and female Lobo, which was amazing. They looked fantastic.
They were great. Ooh,
the main man and the main woman.
Yeah.
Exactly the joke we made.
Yeah. And there was a Golden Age Captain Atom, who was fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Great.
Go ahead.
Did they have any Winter Soldiers with Rocket trying to steal his arm?
I posted a picture of that. I did. I got a picture of that. It's on our website. There's a guy walking around with Rocket strapped to his arm going, and a little sign that says, I'm going to get that arm. And that was a terrific one. I forgot my favorite one. My favorite one was this guy got his four friends to agree to do mirror, mirror Star Trek versions of the cast of Gilligan's Island. Hear me out. So they did the cast of Gilligan's Island, the skipper, Professor Gilligan, and Marianne as evil duplicates of the Star Trek characters they would be if Gilligan's Island was set in Star Trek during the episode of Mirror Mirror where everyone is evil.
I love it.
I can't get you four fuckers to all agree on a movie some night.
It was great.
Guy got everyone to agree to that.
They had bamboo phasers. That's all I'm saying.
They had bamboo phasers. And the guy, you remember the white radio the professor had that he was always trying to get to work? He had that tricked out to make tricorder sounds. So he could scan people and it would make tricorder sounds.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I have to say that was a lot of coordination. That was
It would have been awesome finding a theme. If you got four other guys walking around as the Mirror Mirror Universe Harlem Globetrotters following them. Which I think we now have our next costume.
I'm not really sure I'm comfortable doing a mirror image of the Harlem Globetrotters, because in the mirror image, are we the good Harlem Globetrotters or the evil Harlem Globetrotters?
Depends on if you're the New Jersey Generals, whether we're the good or the evil ones.
I'm just saying that there's some underlying themes there that might become uncomfortable.
We could pull it off.
We could pull it off. We're that good. All right, so we talked a little bit about cosplay. Did anyone go into any other panels besides ours? And we'll talk about our panel in a second. But, LT, you hit a couple other panels, didn't you?
I did. I went to a lovely panel by the dreamy Victor Dandridge.
Hardest working man in comics
on creating character creation, and it was great. It was fantastic. And I'm glad I went because I was able to help him hand out stuff because he had some handouts. And it was a great session where he gave some great useful tools for people who want to get into creating comics and creating characters and what they should do and such.
I like your assessment. You're not actually going to tell us any of the tools that he gave him because fuck our listeners.
He gave a little handbook. It talked about the different types of characters in terms of like science-based characters that used tools to that science-based characters that had obtained their powers through science, like Fantastic Four, and then there were industry-based characters that used tools to gain their powers, like Iron Man, and then there were magic-based characters like Doctor Strange, etc., and so forth, and had all these different types of archetypes in comics, and it was great.
And if you're interested in Victor Dandridge, you should go check him out at Vantage In-House Studios.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 How about you, Josh? Did you hit any other good panels?
I did not make it to any other panels, but I do have to say, I don't know if it was because of maybe ticket sales last year or just the expansion of the number of cities that WizardCon does now. They had reduced the footprint of Philly Comic-Con significantly, as it was only in the main building this year. So there was nothing down the road. All the other conference rooms were unused. I'd say the panel list was more than cut by half.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't see nearly as many panels as we usually have out there, and that's sad. I like a lot of panels.
Yeah. I also went to a Joe Flanagan panel on Stargate Atlantis, and that was pretty good. So definitely the panels that they had the stars in were pretty good.
Yeah, they were well attended, too. Some of those lines were pretty darn big.
And then there was this panel held by some of these guys that had a podcast, Longbox guys, I think they were called. They did an awesome job, really fantastic job talking about stupid supervillains and why they love them. It was just an amazing, amazing panel. I can't even, you know,
I think I did enough. Our trivia panel was as disorganized as ever. We have not got this one down, folks. I mean, come, because we need practice. The last Nerd Standing panel is a lot of fun. We always scream and yell and make jokes. We have a good time. But this is not smooth sailing in the world of trivia. We need to lock that shit down. We need to all get in a room with some people we know and try to go through this maybe step by step a couple of times to get this going in the right direction, because we need that panel and we need to time it better. We either end too early or we have 25 minutes of questions left over at the end. So we gotta time that shit out. I had a ton of fun doing it, and it was I was glad I had those the pile of Marvel trivia cards at the end. Because I personally cut out the After Dark questions that Tom wanted to do, because there were a considerable number of younger people in asking questions about Alan Moore and rape. Probably not for the show. Rape questions are not for the underage. I'm just saying. And one of their mothers was there too, who I apologized before we started. So, and she was there for the stupid supervillain panel as well with her kid. So I warned them in advance that there would be some cursing and some cussing and maybe something inappropriate happening. mostly, you know, mostly I was pointing at Tom. For the most part, I think we need to lock that panel down.
Let's talk about that panel just real quick. Did anybody guess Super Horse for Comet?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yep.
Tom, did you chastise him this time, or were you more? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I allowed Super Horse, even though the name of the horse is Comet.
Yeah, I shouted him down on it.
He did. As well he should, maybe. Maybe not.
If you don't want to include the other slide, that's fine. But you can't, one slide later, show the character on a pedestal that says Super Horse.
The other... Fine.
Get rid of the slide or change the answer. Those are your two choices. It's one or the other.
It's such a good slide.
So who was the last one standing? Did you... Who won it? You guys don't remember, do you?
No.
Names? You mean names? No.
Yes.
There were two people who were there were actually two last turn standings. We actually ran out of questions and time. And they did a good job, though.
There was one guy that was cheating, too, right?
There was definitely a couple people who were cheating. Because, you know, it's on your honor. And clearly, he did not know the answers, but he wanted to keep coming up and grabbing free comic books.
Didn't like it when I started staring at him. It's like, why are you staring at me? Because you've been standing a lot and not moving your lips at all. So a couple times I caught him just moving his lips along with the audience. I'm like, I don't think you said anything. Bounce it out. So for those of you who haven't been to this panel, we ask a question. Everyone shouts out the answer at the same time. And if you don't shout out the correct answer, you sit the heck down. At the end, we have you come on up. And the questions are supposed to be gauged in such a way as they get a little harder as they go along. Sometimes that's true, sometimes that's not. Mike, we really wish you were there because I think even though you told us the answers, we might have screwed up some of the who came first ones.
That's my bad. I had to work. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay this time. All right, let's go over some of the after party stuff. So, the other panel we ran was Stupid Supervillains. We might have touched on that. So on that panel, what we do is we talk about some of the dumber supervillains that have showed up. Like the Hypno Hustler, the Ringer, Condiment Man, Calendar King. And then we have people shout out some of their favorite stupid supervillains. And it was fun because we're hearing a lot of the same supervillains over and over again. So we better start putting them in a pile. What were some of the ones that were shouted out? Does anyone remember? I remember did yell out.
Pastepot Pete and Condiment King were some of the biggies.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the after-hour stuff. I spent most of my after-hour stuff being asleep because I am 50-something years old. But Josh is about 10 years my junior. Josh, tell us about the giant onesie party.
Well, before the giant onesie party, I'm going to throw some blatant advertising in. So I went over to the hotel next to us one evening, and there were two strangers walking by, both with Star Wars-themed T-shirts. So I, of course, invited them to join us. And they happen to be representatives of the Saber League, a mostly full-contact lightsaber league that is spreading throughout the country. And Tom and I have agreed to take on the mantle and start the Boston chapter. So if you guys want to hear about people clickety-clacking with sabers, go check out the Saber League, as we will beat you up with lightsabers anytime and anywhere. The onesie party was advertised before we got there, so I, of course, had to prep. I had a friend who was coming. She didn't have a onesie, so I showed up with two onesies and then made Tom go buy a onesie. So, Tom, you bought the unicorn, which you look fantastic.
Thank you. I want that to become a meme. In that unicorn onesie.
Oh, it'll be going up on the Facebook.
It certainly deserves one. I was a dinosaur. My friend was a shark. And a bunch of us, about eight of us, headed off to the onesie party at the Trocadero right down the street from the convention center. They had us upstairs in their little DJ/private bar area. And there were a lot of people not in onesies, but just about everybody did show up in costume cosplay. There were some 501 members there. There were certainly a lot of shots. And if you ask me how the evening ended, that, I don't know. It's good. Certainly a good question for somebody, but not me.
But not you. Okay. We don't go to a lot of the after parties because we're old and married, but I'm glad that Josh was able to get into that subculture a little bit. Tommy, you spent most of the time after the con with family and friends because you have those in Philadelphia.
Yes.
I spent most of my time eating lamb and rice, which is delicious, and just, you know, heading out to different bars and just having a couple of nightcaps. Met a lot of nerds out there, though, just having a great time. Philadelphia is a wonderful city, and that con is a great con. Congrats to Victor Dandridge, one of the art directors down there, and the hardest working man in comic books, for pulling it off, because, man, he worked like a dog. Josh, can you attest to that?
Yeah, he looked frantic at points, and he was running, and they had him running in all directions. I don't know how much responsibility they heaped on him for Philly Wizard Con, but he was carrying the load around.
He even had to do part of the they have a charity auction, and him and Cato Caitlin, not making that up, guys, him and Cato Caitlin were running the charity auction, and they were the oddest little odd couple out there.
Victor was also hosting the stars in the different panels. So he was kind of doing the moderation for the different panels with the big names. And he actually had to leave his panel early to go do that for one of the big name stars.
Wow.
So they did have him running around like crazy.
That's why we call him the hardest working man in the comic books. All right, well, let's wrap it up. What was some of the Tommy, this is something that you're best suited to answer. Some of that artwork that you bought was ridiculous. Who were some of the better artists that you saw there, besides, of course, the incredible Saber Reigns himself, Mike Grell?
Well, I mean, Jim Steranko was there, of course.
Did he give you the full Steranko?
I did not have time to make it over to his booth. He had a bit of a line when I went to go say hello to him. I was hoping that my niece would be able to go over there with my wife's cousin and see if he could get a full Steranko. But alas, that did not happen. The Frame Brothers were there, and Paris Collins was there. There were some just fantastic people over there, as always.
Yeah, you always spend – how much did you spend this time on art?
I did not spend a lot on art this time because –
yeah, but the watermark is high for you, so what did you spend?
I only spent a few hundred dollars this time.
Oh, wow. That's a really
totally
good
did not spend a lot.
I got a great sketch. My sketchbook is full of pictures of me because I'm a narcissist, of me being taught different things by other superheroes as if I am one. And this one was me stealing Ghost Rider's motorcycle. And because I'm who I am, the Ghost Rider cycle immediately turns into a scooter, and I scoot off on my flaming scooter. It's a really good sketch from someone who didn't do sketches very often. He was a little reticent to even try, but I think he knocked it out of the park. I think it's a great sketch.
We should see that on our Twitter account.
I will put it up on the Twitter account. Josh, did you buy any art?
Wait, what's our Twitter account?
We are at the Longbox Guys. Oh, okay. And soon you will see Tom on a flaming scooter there, or a flaming Tom on a scooter there.
A flaming Tom. I would order that at a bar. Yeah, a little flaming Tom. Guy punches me in the face, throws some lighter fluid on me, lights me up, and then hands me a delicious drink.
That's right. And the alternate one is on a scooter, right, which that's over ice.
Yeah, over ice.
A flaming Tom on a scooter.
So, Josh, did you buy anything cool there?
Oh, I didn't buy anything. I don't think I bought anything. Did I buy anything?
You bought a lot of drinks. You bought a lot of rounds. That's where you spent your money.
I spent money on drinks. I can't really, no. Went around a bunch. I talked to the Saber Legion guys a lot.
They were great guys. I'm excited about doing that with you.
Yeah, I looked at some of the glasses, and there was the deer mask where you hijacked my Daredevil idea.
Oh, I'm totally doing Daredevil, the deer with no fear.
That's right. He doesn't freeze in the headlights.
Yeah.
He doesn't freeze in the headlights.
Because you can't see him.
That's right. Sure. Why would I? Headlights? What headlights?
What are headlights?
And you also, Josh, you hooked up with some other friends down there from Nerd Camp.
We did, yeah. Those are the folks I went to the after party with. Go to Epic Nerd Camp, people. It's fun, and I teach you how to click-clack with swords.
Ooh, and when is Epic Nerd Camp coming up?
Sometime in August. But there's a website that tells you the whole thing. It's epicnerdcamp.com.
Well, maybe I'll put a link on that on our Twitter.
Yeah, and Mike,
yeah, you weren't able to go at all, so screw you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean,
Does anyone have any final thoughts about that Wizard World Philly Con?
We had a great time.
We did, and we hope to go back again next year. It's one of the cons that is drivable for us, even though there was some pretty bad traffic this time around. So we will probably go again next year. And with that, I'm going to ask Mikey. Mikey, got anything for me in the front of the long box?
I do. I've been rereading some old Avengers, and I want to recommend that if you have a chance, go back and check out Jonathan Hickman's run on Avengers and New Avengers, because those two dovetail right into the Secret Wars. It took me like 2 days to get through of all those comic books, but when you talk about an epic run, it sets the stage. Every piece along the way is laid out along the way, and it's an homage to the original Secret Wars, where he took the idea of, hey, let's instead of, and they even keep the original Beyonder, they refer to him as the baby Beyonder, because the bad guys in this are the real Beyonders, his parents. And there are hundreds of thousands of them, and they have decided to destroy the multiverse because they fucking can. And it is a great story. You guys can all drink if you're playing at home, because I'm going to highly recommend you go check out Jonathan Hickman's run on Avengers, New Avengers, and then it all dovetails right into Secret Wars. It's fabulous. LT, what do you got at the back of the long box?
The back of the long box, I'm not going back too far. I am recommending Saucer Country.
Ooh.
Saucer Country by Paul Cornell and Ryan Kelly. It's a story of a New Mexico governor who is abducted by aliens just as she is announcing that she is running for president. So she is going through not only the traumatic experience of having been abducted by aliens, but also trying to keep it secret and investigating what really happened and running a campaign for president. And it is a really, really well done book. And the follow up to it is also pretty well done. Follow up is Saucer State. The only issue I had with Saucer State is it felt like it didn't really end. It felt like it really should keep going, and yet it says it's a conclusion of the series. So I hope there's more Saucer State coming, but it's a fantastic book dealing with UFO abduction, and it has a lot of twists, a lot of turns, and it is fantastically written.
That's a Vertigo comic, right?
Actually, I think it's by IDW. It's IDW.
IDW?
Yeah. But I highly recommend it, Mikey. And I'm saying that just so that I can finish off the last of my Crown Royal.
I was going to say, don't keep saying highly recommend, because you know we don't have drinks, so we can't play along with the drinking game. I'm sorry, that was a little tangential. But that's your part of the podcast there, Josh. You got a tangent for us?
Yeah, so I did find out. So Wizard Camp and Harry Potter Conference at Chestnut Hill College in Philadelphia is October 19th and 20th this year. And also the weekend after we went to Philly, my cousins went down to Con of Thrones, the big Game of Thrones convention in Dallas, Texas. So my question is, if you could have a con for something there currently isn't a con for, what con would you get?
Ooh. I like this. All right, let's think about this for a second.
I'm going to say a fan convention for fans of Shaka Khan. So
you just want to go to Shaka Khan Con.
Yes.
Yeah.
I stole that joke. I'm just kidding. Credit where credit's due. Con Man Season 2, which I was one of the stars of.
That's true.
So, Mikey, why not do a Wrath of Khan Con?
Oh, that was.
Aura.
Couldn't come up with anything, huh?
No, you were doing the con man. What, the con man con? Why don't you? You had your own show to promote right there.
Oh.
The con. And you dodged.
Con.
Sorry, everybody froze for a second. I thought I froze too. I didn't really froze, but I thought maybe I should stop until everybody unfreezes.
I thought you were trying to come up with chicken con carne con. I don't know why, but that's what I thought you were.
Although funny. I would love a con man con.
Right.
Sure.
That would be cool. Maybe an Arrested Development con?
The king of all cons?
King Con?
King Con.
Actually, you know what? I would go to a giant movie monster con.
Yeah.
Like, I know there are horror cons, but I think my vote would actually be for giant monster cons. Because, you know, I'm a big sucker for the old Godzilla, King Kong movies. I loved those as a kid. So maybe some of those. That'd be fun.
It's a double feature. Back in
the Actually, we never go to horror cons. We're not huge horror movies. We're more like classic horror movie fans. So we don't really go to the new ones. But maybe some of those horror cons are fun. Maybe we should think about going one.
There's a great Lovecraft con in Providence, Rhode Island every year.
I got a problem with Lovecraft. I'll talk to you about it later. It's almost ruining my love for Lovecraft.
Okay.
Show me where Cthulhu touched you on this doll. Oh, God, don't look at the doll. God, why would you show me that?
Why would you touch yourself there? How did that doll fit in that?
I think a Firefly con would also be cool.
I bet you there are a couple.
There probably are, though.
There might be. Some small ones, yeah.
Well, they have the brown coat balls around the country. I'm not kidding.
It seems poorly.
It's a gala where people dress up like...
Oh, phrasing!
I'm sorry, but I've been to the brown coat ball, and it's not what you think.
Unless there's, I wouldn't even Google that shit.
You do. Lemon party and brown coat ball are two things you do not need to Google.
It's go in the brown coat ball, not the brown coated balls. Something totally different.
I don't even think I would go to a Firefly con if it were called the brown coat ball.
Well, then you're missing out because those are great. And, you know, classic board games. I think I'd go to a board game con. I bet there are some out there for that.
There are.
I'd love a Twilight Imperium con. It would last for days.
A con for Twilight Imperium would last like 2 months.
I was going to say, I don't think there's enough time for that.
How long would a tournament take?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, Tom, there is a board game convention. It's called PAX Unplugged by the PAX guys. It's
oh, PAX Unplugged, yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's in Philly.
I might have to go to that. You know what? I should have known that because one of the inventors of Exploding Kittens is local, and I talked to him about it.
And there you go.
I should have remembered that. Yeah, PAX Unplugged. I think I'll go next year. Anybody want to go with me?
I would consider it.
All right. It's Dean, fine. You're listening. You want to come up?
He means Diane.
Pronounced it wrong once, never going to get it right again. I suck. I have a person who works for me. Her name is Maya, and I can't call her anything but Mia because the first time I met her, I called her Mia.
Mia, Maya.
No one's named Mia. No one's named Mia. I'm an idiot. I have a weird brain. That's my point. I'm sticking
to it.
Her
mom? Is her mom Mia's mom?
Mama Mia.
Mama Mia.
Here I go again.
All right. Carry on.
My wayward son.
Yeah.
There'll be peace after this, though. It's okay.
Tommy, you got anything? Tommy, you got anything on social justice? Or am I just going to edit that shit out?
I might have something next week about H.P. Lovecraft that I found disturbing, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to address it yet because it's so bad.
Okay, I want to briefly tell you, I have so many socially conscious books for you, Tom, that you are going to cream your pants. One of them is Neil Gaiman's character that created Death does an AIDS prevention book. I got you a copy of that. I also got you a copy of Nomad's Roadkill, where he's trying to save the animals.
That is one of my favorite ones that I've never been able to find. Nomad goes on a quest to stop a town from purposely running over animals because they became known as the Roadkill Capital of the World, and they didn't want to lose the title. So they were like tying up animals in the middle of the road to run them over, and it was horrific. Because it was a precursor to letting a social media idea meme get out of hand.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. I got that.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I'm giddy as a schoolgirl.
Oh, I also have that, too.
Giddy as a schoolgirl?
Giddy as a schoolgirl?
No, I'm just making shit up now.
Okay.
I do have. Did you get the Supergirl seatbelt book?
No,
that I sent?
It's probably still in the box in my house.
You son of a bitch, Josh.
Seatbelt. I got to get that one from you.
It's not
Josh.
Like Tom wasn't here and the box was here. He just could have gone under the box and got it.
We watched Jackie Chan as an old man beat up a whole bunch of people. So, yeah. You know, we were busy.
But I think having Supergirl talk about seatbelt safety is probably the wrong way to go because she doesn't need to use one. I mean, like Miles Calder, the chief from Doom Patrol, that would be a good one.
That's too soon, dude.
Wow.
We want Supergirl.
Major Disaster does a seatbelt commercial.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Hi, cool. Everyone. My name is Supergirl, and I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about kryptonite poisoning. Kryptonite poisoning is a terrible disease that affects two beings on the entire planet. Won't you please help? Turn in your kryptonite, or we'll find you.
Stop making it look like delicious candy, please.
Yeah, kryptonite pods. That's how I actually killed half of Krypton before it blew up.
Yeah, the kryptonite pod challenge. All right, you got to put this whole kryptonite pod in your mouth.
That's not funny. That's how Mitzi Pitalik lost Bizarro.
Bizarro think I can take challenge.
Bizarro don't think he can take challenge.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. We've gone off the rails, but in a funny way. Let's do some plugs, guys. Who's ready for a plug?
Oof. I'm going to go back and save the Saber Legion. Go check those guys out. Friendly Neighborhood Comics. That place is getting cleaner by the day.
Oh, those guys were great. They gave us all those comic books to hand out at the convention. Thank you, guys.
They did. They gave us a big box of free comics from Free Comic Book Day to hand out at the convention. It really helped out. We gave a couple hundred away, at least.
Oh, I gave them all away.
Oh, so we gave at least 250 away.
I was walking up and down the photo op line as we were ready to go. I was like, free comic, free comic, free comic.
By the way, next year we should really set up a flip cup table. That was like our biggest attraction.
No, the water bottle flip.
That the flip water bottle flip challenge. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, we did a lot of shots of hot sauce. So thank you, Frank Hot Sauce, for almost killing me.
Franks. We put that shit in everyone.
Yeah. So the hot sauce challenge at our table, by the way, just to plug something we did, was we had a shot of hot sauce and a shot of V8. They look a little bit alike. We don't let you smell the glasses. And if you sign up for our podcast, you choose a glass, we choose a glass, and we both do it as a shot. And we see who gets the hot sauce, who gets the not. Josh, you lost like right off the bat, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't do it nearly as much as you did, but both times I did lose.
I did it about 15 times. I lost 4 times, as I recall, maybe 5, and it sucked. It sucked bad.
Why would you do that to potential listeners?
They thought it was hilarious. I think we had almost as many people do the shot glass challenge with each other as did with us. So we'd like pull 2 people, like,
oh,
hey,
so
you guys.
That's a good idea. I like that, way.
Yeah. They had to, like challenging better, yeah. Friends to it, like, here you go, guys. You ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And we had a lot of fun watching that. We got some good video of that, too.
We should post
some more of those up. Yeah, we posted a couple up during the con, but I'll post some more up during the week.
Well, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com or go get their music off of iTunes or Bandcamp. I'd also like to thank all of our listeners who are listening to us, no matter on which platform you do, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. We may soon be on iHeartRadio, just waiting to hear back from them. So thank you to all our listeners. And if you do like the podcast, you should check out some friends of ours who also have podcasts, the Sammy Savage crew over at Who's Next for all your gaming and sex robot needs. Or you could check out, if you like nerd news, Nerds Who Get Laid Sometimes. I just met those guys a couple weekends ago. They are very funny. We had a good time at a flea market. And I didn't tell you, I went over to that guy's house who had all those comic books that he was selling for a nickel. And we spent the day. I spent 6 hours over at his house helping him sort his Marvel comics. and he gave me a short box of comics for free.
Wow.
Nice.
And he was the one who gave me the when I told him about Tom's proclivity for socially conscious comics, he's the one who gave me the death anti-AIDS comic book.
I cannot wait to get my hands on that. That sounds awesome.
I would like to plug geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things. I would also like to plug Comics Depot in Saratoga Springs, New York, a fine little comic book store where I picked up a certain little comic book for Mikey.
Oh, thank you. Somebody got me Justice League number 33.
Oh,
somebody thought of me. I appreciate it. Hey, if you're ever in the Gainesville, Florida area, you should go check out Ollie's Wholesale. It's like a Big Lots, but they have a huge graphic novel section. I went there the other day and ended up spending $70 and got 20 graphic novels. It is awesome. Including a lot of the old phone book editions to showcase, like Captain Carrot and Phantom Stranger and The War That Time Forgot. And then I even got the they had hardcovers there, too. Like, I got the Volume 1 of The Seven Soldiers of Victory.
And, ooh, I bought that one for $4.
Yeah, so did I.
Huh?
Or $3, I think. It was just crazy. And they also had a ton of great stuff over there. So Ollie's in Gainesville, Florida.
All right, we'll check that out. And I think that just about does it for us here at the Long Box. Long Box, guys, thank you to all the Long Box Legion out there. Let me just plug really quick our Patreon page, patreon.com/ I can never remember, the Long Box, guys. For just the a dollar a month or whatever you want to give us, you get an extra podcast called The GOAT. This week's GOAT is Games Within Games. And we argue about what game was in a movie or a TV show or something that was the best ever. And I think we have a pretty clear winner this week. And we also chat about other things here and there. So if you got a chance and you can spare a couple dollars a month, give us a little listen to at the Patreon page. And Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Tommy, what do you got for us?
This may not be the podcast you want, but it is the podcast you deserve.
And Josh, in your onesie, when you were drunk out of your mind, you decided to do the Josh drunk out of their mind thing and run around Philadelphia all night long, which is a weird thing you do when you're drunk. You exercise like a maniac.
I love running when I'm drunk, as fast as I can in some random direction until I'm completely lost, and then I have to find my way back.
You're lucky there is no such thing as a RDI, but there probably is, running while intoxicated.
However, I think the Boston Garden is my sector for Game 7 of the Celtics versus the Cavaliers.
Oh, that's your sector. Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Oh, that's going to be starting soon, right?
No, tip-off's at 8:30.
Oh, all right. Well, let's go Celtics.
Yeah.
We don't sound it, but we're wicked from Boston, you fuckers.
Yeah.
We try to tone it down for this, but, you know, fuck it.
Yeah.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just freaking promote what you love, you fucks. And have yourself a good night down here from South Boston, Dorchester, representing the house. Have a good night, everybody.
More than every other country combined, and you're guarded by a man who dresses like a panther. What's the deal with that? It's totally weird. It doesn't make much sense, but I guess there's always been one, and there will always be, 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 will always be one. What kind of
are we going to take?
That's the only fucking question you ever ask when someone asks you that question, you fucks.
It's not a great right. movie. Go see The Town. Yeah.
Go see The Town. That was a great movie. Hawkeye helps Batman beat two assholes up. That is what I took away from The fucking Town. If Batman needs to fuck someone up, he goes against Hawkeye, they fucking take someone's car, and they fucking just go ape.